Morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Already had a good time of fellowship around the table with, I don't know, just a couple of dozen of us. And those of you that missed it, we're sorry, but the rest of us had a good time, and maybe you can make it next time. It's great to be in the Lord's house, and we're so glad that you're here. I got to think about something this week, and let's see if I can make you understand what went through my mind. If a few minutes ago some famous celebrity walked through the door, how would you react? Now, depending on what floats your boat, I'll just mention people like Michael Jordan or Franklin Graham or Bill Gaither or Taylor Swift or whoever. And some of them you wouldn't care a thing about, and others you'd say, wow, and you'd rush to speak to them, and probably during the sermon, you'd keep looking over there at the celebrity and not really pay attention to what was going on. Because we're enamored with people that are famous. You know what? The greatest person in all of the universe is here this morning, Jesus.
Amen.
And when we sing, focus on Jesus. When we pray, focus on Jesus. You know, if we would focus on Jesus in worship as much as we would focus on a celebrity, we might be awed by what would happen in the service. The Lord said, the Bible says, the Lord inhabits or dwells in or lives in the praises of his people.
Yes, sir.
So when we worship him, God says, I believe I'll go down there and check out what's going on, and joins in the worship. So I invite you, not only this morning, but every service, as you sing to the Lord. Don't sing just to be singing. Don't sing just to make Leonard happy. Don't just sing to drown me out. Sing to the Lord. Worship him, and we'll all be blessed. Maybe pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Oh, we thank you for your presence. And now, Father, we pray that the Spirit of the living God might touch every heart. Lord, as we focus upon you, as we worship you, as we honor you, as we praise you, may you receive the glad adoration of our heart. Father, I pray now for your blessing upon the service as we sing and pray, and upon Justin as he shares. May your anointing touch him and touch us. May he say those things that we need to hear, that will instruct us, bless us, convict us, encourage us. And Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit orchestrates it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning.
Good morning.
I've been up a while. How about you all? So it's good to be in the Lord's house, I can tell you that right now. Well, it's the first of the month again, so we want to acknowledge all the birthdays for the month of February. And we have a lot, don't we, Kathy? And we also have anniversaries as well for this month to go over. First, the birthdays. First is Justin Keplinger, February the 1st. Happy birthday, Justin! Old Dad, Jeff Keplinger, February the 5th. I'm sorry about that old part. Tim Smith, February the 8th. Candace Louder, February the 12th. Emily Snyder, February the 16th. Jeff Harville, my son, February the 21st. McCord Barbie, February the 21st. And McCord's right back there. Don't you look, you hadn't aged a bit, McCord. Doing good. Hang in there. And one of our newest members, Whitley Triplett, February the 23rd. Back there she is. And then Betty Davis, our oldest member, as a matter of fact, probably, is February the 27th. Are there those that I may have missed? I hope not, but is anyone I missed anywhere? All right, so if you'll give me a key there over to anybody that I can hit, okay? That's a good one. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And our anniversaries are Wesley and Angela Barbie, February the 14th. Wes, how many years? 26 years. How about that? Well, congratulations. That's beautiful. And Jeff and Charlene Harville, and they're about 35 so years, I believe that is. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful news. All right, so congratulations to all those. Anniversary. All right, this morning, as we get ready to do our hymn sing, we have one every Sunday, and this morning I picked out one. It's called really the Battle Hymn of Republic, but the book says, "Mine eyes have seen the glory." And let's do 1, 2, and 5 as we all stand together and sing the Battle Hymn of Republic, okay? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosened his faithful servant with his brave triumphant sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His stay is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Standing for prayer, please.
God, praise you, Father. Again, we thank you for coming to our house today. Thank you for these people today. Thank you for your holiness here. Lord, thank you for the speaker you have sent before I'm through this horrible message you have us to hear today, Lord. Thank you, Skip. You said, for all my people, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Doxology, please.
Praise God from above.
Thank you. And I like to tell the sound men that was me that did that. And there's nothing wrong with the mic. I know you looked, what's going on? No, it's me. I did this. So, anyway, well, it is good to be here this morning. I wanted to share some announcements with you at this time, if I may. Today, we will have church council at 11. Let's do this, church council. Let's meet over here in the Sunday school room, just right beyond the office. That'll be the young adults. And there's plenty of room in there. You don't have to climb stairs or to go downstairs. So just right over there you go. There may be some cleanup going on in the kitchen anyway, so it's for the best. So let's meet there, please, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. All right, next week, Wednesday, we got Wings meeting. You want to speak to that, Miss Rosina? Okay, all righty.
Wing. O'clock,
okay, and then don't forget it, that's at 10 o'clock. That's in the morning, so be, yeah, not some of my meeting 10 o'clock at night, so this is 10 o'clock in the morning. So adult Bible study, come and be with us. We're still in the book of Romans, and so come and be with us. We'd love to have you there for that at 6:30 to do that, okay? Next Sunday will be a call conference, and it'll be for the nominating committee. We have got some members or some new jobs that we need to fill from replacement jobs, and so we're supposed to be this Sunday, but we delayed it due to the fact it was Baptist Men's Day. We wanted to be sure that we just stayed focused on Baptist Men's Day, so that's the reason that we've rescheduled the conference for next week. So you all come, and again, I thank the nominating committee for their hard work in getting this work done. Okay, baby bottles. Tonda, we need to talk about that this morning, but you need to get them back here, right?
Yes, please bring your bottle next week, and I'll return those to Pregnancy Resource on Monday, the 10th.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Please bring your bottles back.
Please bring them back. All right, now, the Constitution Committee, you've got a meeting. We've got a meeting scheduled from February the 9th at 11, so be here for that. And we've got some meeting, some work we got to do. So won't take a whole lot of time, I don't believe. So, but you all plan to be in this meeting at 11 o'clock next Sunday at here, and we'll go from there. Baptist Women's Day is February the 16th. Anybody want to speak to that at this point in time? Okay. But it said Baptist Women will be held on February the 16th. We have a very special guest speaker prepared for the days. Ladies, please join us for all the women's and all women's choir. Yippee! Well, that'd be good. That's good. Stay tuned for more information. Okay, we'll do that. So, ladies, it's your day coming up. Sure it is. Sure is. Okay, your annual contribution statements are back in your mailboxes. If you don't have a mailbox, please let us know that, too. We'll get you one prepared. So let Miss Brenda know about that, or me or somebody, and we'll get you a mailbox. Also, on the one calls that we have a one call system here. And I know we've got some new members and some new. Make sure that if you're not getting the one calls, you let Mr. Jeff K up there know, or one of them, or the deacons, your deacons, whichever, and we'll make sure you are added to that one call list so you'll know what's going on. Like this morning when we had our breakfast this morning, we'll be sure everybody knows what time to be here and all of that, okay? Adult choir practice dates will be on the second and fourth Wednesday, so we need to get going on that again very strong, right, Miss Kathy? We need to read. All right. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? Yes, Tonda.
Can I speak to the choir practice night?
Yes, ma'am.
Choir practice night, I really need our ladies here specific.
Yeah.
That one,
okay.
So we can choose and determine what we want to do as a choir.
Okay. I sing high. Could I come?
Yes.
Oh, I'm saying.
Yes,
Miss Harv.
All of our ladies that could be here that night would be great.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Tonda. We'll do that. All right, ladies, you know where you need to be now. Come and be. Let's have a great ladies' choir. I know you'll do that. All right. Anything else? Sir?
When you were talking about the one call, also remind folks about the newsletter. If you're not getting the pastor's newsletter.
Yes. Very good point, Wes. What Wes is saying, for those of you who may not have heard, there's those of you who don't get the newsletter. Is anybody here that does not get the newsletter? If you'll raise your hand if you don't get it. Okay, so far that's really good. Okay, all right, but if you don't, Wes like to know about that too, so we make sure we get all that done. So it's a great newsletter. I don't know how he comes up with all this. Well, I do too. I shouldn't say that. God lays it on his heart. But it is really good. And it's challenging too. I get to the point where I have to read it in a quiet time. I don't just read it in a hurry because sometimes I'll send him a note back and make a comment. But I'll tell you, it's a great newsletter, And you need to do that. You need to read it every single time you get it. Okay? Any other announcements?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you take a look, we got the two newest Baptist men and the oldest Baptist man.
Uh-huh.
Or one of the oldest Baptist men. I don't know if you're the oldest.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was beautiful, by the way. We had some young guys in there this morning breaking eggs and doing things, and it was wonderful to see. It was wonderful to see. And, what, Will?
I dropped an egg on the floor on accident.
You dropped an egg? I didn't catch that, Will. You slicked over that pretty well. You were a great help, too, Len. You really was. These guys are just amazing to me. And the thing I said was, that when they get to do the job like I'm doing and be as old as I am, I'll be in heaven, and I hope I'll just get to look down and say, praise the Lord, and I believe I will. So anyway, I will do that. So that's wonderful.
The biscuit master got one a little couple overdone this morning.
Yeah, that's true. Did you make a picture of that to show everybody?
Pictures was sent to Phil, and he sent back like father, like son.
Yeah. I'm not going to try to blame it on the oven. I'm not going to do that. Say what, dear? Oh, I heard. There's something to be said for that, too. I want to tell you, this is a true story. I mean, it's an absolute fact. I just appreciate everybody that came this morning. If no other reason, there was a fellowship. I'm telling you, if no other reason, fellowship, because we had fun doing it. Yeah, it was early. Yeah, it's all in love, Robert. Even though you burned the sausage, that's okay. But it was all in love, and no, it really wasn't bad. But we thank you, everybody. Yes, Gary?
And we did show a couple of young men the secret handshake of the brotherhood.
Okay.
I'm starting to believe they're not a secret handshake.
All right. No, I tell you, it's fellowship. Kenny.
It's a few biscuits and a plate left down there
with that boat. Okay. There's a few biscuits left, and I hope it's not one I burn. But I think there's some biscuits left if anybody wants them down there. And some donuts, I think, maybe, or whatever. No, okay, just the biscuits. Okay. All right, so if you're still hungry, go down there and do it. Go get that, and that'll be great. All right, anything else? Okay, we'll get serious now, and we'll get serious and go before the Lord in our prayers this morning. I've got a couple that's already been given to me. Let's remember Brother Jim. He's got to have some maybe a possible knee replacement, Jim, and telling me he goes next Friday, I believe it is, and be checked out for that to be sure. So knee replacements, no fun. It takes a while to get back on the gear again, and I know you will. God will bless you, and we'll be praying for you. Also, let's remember Lionel and Tamara this morning. I think they both have the flu, and we've got that really, it's really bad. I had the crud for early part of the week and still coughed a little bit, but I'm okay. I didn't spread it. I hope and pray. I know I didn't. But anyway, I know what that's like. So it's been a mess. So a lot of you have had that. Kenny and Miss Rita, she's still sick, isn't she, Kenny?
She's okay now.
Yeah, is she? Okay. All right. Are there others we need to put on the prayer list this morning?
Leonard,
yes, ma'am.
Jeff Hatley.
Okay. We'll do that for sure. Oh, wonderful. Okay. So she's going to get to come back in Stanley County then.
She will hopefully get to move tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll be in touch. Maybe we'll have a one call or something about her room number and such at Trinity when we get her there.
Okay.
Gary and I had an opportunity to be with her last night, and we are so, so thankful for what we saw the improvement that we have seen.
She's definitely been through some things, and we're glad to know that she's doing as well as she is, actually.
Yes,
how old is she now?
She will be 93.
I knew she was up there. I'm sorry?
Harry.
Yeah, Harry. Okay, we do need to remember Harry Stogner.
He had an infusion Friday, and if that goes well, he'll have another
Yeah, Harry, as you know, was a member here at the church for a long, long time, he and Miss Betty. So let's keep that family in our prayers. Others?
Yes, let's pray for all the victims for the plane crash.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
The helicopter, the plane.
Yes.
And the medevac.
Yeah. Let's pray for the loss. Let's pray for the loss. We need to be more concerned, all of us do, for the lost people. Let's do that. Okay. Yes, Chris?
The family of Richard Morton.
Richard Morton, family. Where, Rich Richard is that?
He lives across from the Tammy's restaurant up there. He's like 70.
Okay. He's from Oak Borough? Was he? Is his name Junior Morton's? Would that be Junior Morton's?
Yeah, it's a different one.
A different one?
Yeah, this is Bobby Morton's brother.
Oh, okay. There's our expert right there.
Not the one you grew up with.
Not the one I grew up with. Because I knew if it was, I hadn't heard. Okay. Thank you, Ted. I can always rely on Ted. You want to know something? You want to know who the third cousin, third time removed? Right there is the man. Oh, Ted is so good to have you back and have you back in that seat over there. So good to have you, Ted, back. Sure is. Okay. All right. Yes, Kenny.
Family of Alan Hartzell.
Alan Hartzell family, okay. All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we come to you first thankful, with thankful hearts, and then also, Lord, with acknowledging who you are. Lord, you are indeed the awesome, true God. And Lord, we're calling upon your name today, Lord, because we believe in prayer. We believe that prayer changes things, and we believe that you want us to ask. And we, Lord, we want to do that today in prayer, Lord, as we have those who we want to lift up to you specifically today, Lord. We pray, Lord, now for Pastor Jim as he goes for possible knee replacement. We pray, Lord, for him. Lionel and Tamara were with the flu. Lord, we pray for them, the Jeff Hatley family. Lord, we lift up Justin to you today, Lord. We're so thankful to hear him this morning and what he had to say to us. And at time, Lord, we're so thankful for his life. We're thankful for his service. And now, Lord, we ask you bless him today as he goes forward in the service today for us as well. Aunt Betty, Lord, we pray. We pray for her, Lord. Lift her up to you, Lord. Continue to pray for her. And, Lord, we're glad to hear the good news about her. And then, Lord, Harry Stogner, who is battling cancer, we pray for Harry and Betty and the entire family. We lift them up to you. Lord, all those victims that Robert has mentioned, the countless numbers. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the families who have lost loved ones. And this horrible, horrible accidents. And then, Lord, the lost. Lord, help us to be burdened for the lost soul. Help us to be a witness to someone, Lord, as we go forward. And also, Lord, we lift up the Richard Morton family today to you, Lord. And, Lord, the praise report that we have and looking over and seeing Ted and how well he looks. And we're so glad to have Ted back as he has been through quite an ordeal himself. And, Lord, we're thankful for him and glad to have him back to us. And then, Lord, lastly, is the Alan Hartzell family. We pray for them. Go for with us now further in the duration of the services today, Lord, and we ask your blessings upon us as we go forward today, Lord. And again, pray for Justin as he comes and speaks to us today. And, Lord, these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. We got a song to sing today in our praise time. It's a beautiful song. And I have noticed that this morning this morning I noticed that in about us we have a sweet, sweet spirit, don't we? And I can see it on your face. I can see it on your face. And that's kind of what the song is asking us to sing about this morning. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place as we stand, please. A sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Amen. You may be seated. Children, you are dismissed.
As a Baptist man director, I have the distinct pleasure and honor of introducing the speaker. And this week it's someone I'm very proud of. Matter of fact, I'm proud of both of my children. I'm 65 this week. I've lived long enough to see both my children, my grandchildren, and I've even got a great-grandchild grow up to be better people than I am. So I'm not going to keep y'all waiting any longer. I know you know him. He's a son of this church, and I'm proud to have him as my son. Justin Kipling.
Love you too. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'll be honest with you. When we saw my dad, me and Anna looked at each other and we thought dad was leaving with the kids. with sneaking out, right? No, like my dad said, my name's Justin. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. Nothing else, most of you know the name, Keplinger, either from my dad, Jeff, my mom, Lori, my sister, Anna. Some of you may even know my wife, Casey. I couldn't be here this morning. Told them this morning, downstairs, we have a 140-pound two-year-old, two-and-a-half-year-old Irish wolfhound. I don't know if you've ever seen an Irish wolfhound, but they're about this tall. And he started having seizures, so he's on new medication, so we can't leave him at home for too long by ourselves. So mom's taking care of him. And then, of course, Jackson. If you don't know Jackson's story, it's a pretty impressive one. Born 16 weeks early, 15, 16 weeks early, 1 pound, 11 ounces. Told everybody this morning downstairs that we were moving from England to Arizona at the time when Jackson was born, and we just happened to stop here for 2 days. Turned into a 3-month stay in the NICU when Jackson was born, but God put us right back here, exactly where we needed to be during that time. And so, said it before, and I'll say it again, can't thank this church enough for what you've meant to me and to my family through all that time. So, thank you so much. Now, I know it may be hard to believe that I am a Keplinger. I don't necessarily look like everybody else in my family with my serious terminal case of being a ginger. But I think since I've retired, I'm really starting to fill in the role of being a Keplinger, you know? I don't know if you noticed, but I'm hopefully, you know, I think I'm getting there. And so it's a blessing to be back here. Grew up in this church. Talked a lot about the Baptist men. The men in this church who raised me up, poured into me, and what a blessing it was to have them in my life. The other young men who were a part of the ministries here, it was wonderful to see Matt this morning. it was a good surprise for me to see Matt Hamilton this morning. Like my dad said, 22 years in the Army, just retired, 1 August last year. It was a great experience, glad it's behind me. I'm glad I get that paycheck every month for the rest of my life now, too. So that's pretty cool. I currently serve as a defense contractor. I teach soldiers about signals intelligence, cyber, and electromagnetic warfare, which makes me sound like I would be pretty smart. I don't think that's true. I think I just got really good at taking very technical things and dumbing them down enough for me to understand them. And so I'm able to teach that to other folks. So I got to warn you, not a preacher. not by calling or profession. In fact, I'm exceptionally nervous right now. I can teach in front of a classroom of 40 people. I can brief 4- and 5-star generals without a bead of sweat. But there is something about the weight of carrying the scripture and sharing that scripture and that gospel with people. So I have a lot of respect for pastors and people who've preached before. It's not my calling, not my profession. So I just want to warn you that up front so that you know if I stumble, that is why. But
we all stumble, brother.
Amen. Thank you. I got to tell you a couple ground rules when I talk about scriptures or when I study the scriptures that I go by. And the first one is, and I'm sure most of you may have heard this before, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's so close. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. And I say that because so many people read scriptures and they place themselves in this. And they make this story about them. And what I challenge you today, it's not about you. It is about God and redeeming his people. And that is what this is about. So I always try to avoid putting myself into the story. One of my favorite sermons I listened to. Anybody know who Matt Chandler is? Anybody ever heard of Matt Chandler? Love Matt Chandler. He went to a church in Charlotte called Elevation. He's from Texas. They invited him to go to this church, Elevation. And he stood on the stage right after the pastor of that church telling everybody they can sling their stones and take down their Goliaths. And he said to them, I love you enough to tell you that you're not David. And in that story, you're actually, if anything, you're the cowering Israelites who refused to fight that battle. And so it's really neat to see that. And so, again, it's the same kind of rule. We don't place ourselves in the middle of the scripture as the hero. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, everyone that is chosen to be spoken of in here, they don't do a really good job of making them look like good people according to their standards and to the world standards. David was an adulterer. Moses wasn't even allowed to enter the promised land. Abraham denied that he was married to his wife and called her his sister. So these men in the Bible were not anything to look up to in that perspective, but God used them regardless. And then, like I said before, the other rule that I always go by is scripture is about one thing and one thing alone, God's redemption story of his people, the good news or the gospel. Does anybody know what the term good news comes from, the gospel? I just learned this a couple years ago. I know Jackson does because we talk about this all the time. If you don't know Jackson, he's 16, just started driving, so of course pray for us. But if anything that I'm so proud about him, he studies theology on his own. He wants to understand this stuff. When he came to me talking about penal substitutionary atonement one day, which I'm sure some of us may have never heard of, it was really impressive to me, so he's part of the reason I love the scriptures the way I do after seeing his love for it. But the good news comes from a Greek word called euangelion. I don't know Greek. I'm going to tell you that right now. So if I said that wrong, I don't know how much Greek y'all know. But it comes from the battlefield. When the battlefield was won, the runner that would run back and tell the city that the battle was won. And that's what the gospel is about. The battle is won. And so that's one of my great things that I love. One keynote, something I learned this past week, and I kind of wanted to share with you guys when we talk about the scriptures. Stephen King, the author, he's written over 70 different books. 70 different books in his lifetime. And in those 70 books, he provides 1,500 references between the books. So one man in one lifetime, 70 books, 1,500 different references. Now, I've never read Stephen King. I don't know him as an author. I can't say that I've read anything of his. But I do know that this right here has 66 books in it, written by 44 different authors over a 1,500-year span. And they were able to have 64,000 references to each other in the Bible. So if you don't believe that this is God-inspired, then there's some statistics that I hope help you understand how important this is as God's Word. 64,000 different references in the Bible where the Old Testament highlights the New Testament and the New Testament harks back to the Old Testament 64,000 times. So just an interesting fact I learned this week, and I just kind of wanted to share that with you. So I know it's Baptist Men's Day, but what I've been laid on my heart to talk about, we all have a responsibility to. But as far as the men concerned, I'll tell you, you get an extra helping of responsibility, in case you were wondering. We're called to lead our families. We have to model this for our children, and we have to model it in our society and in our environment, or whatever work environment that we may be in. So I just wanted to share that with you as well. I did wake up. I talked to my sister last night about 10 o'clock. I was just finishing up writing everything. And I went to bed, and then I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I got up, and I rewrote the entire thing. So if it seems a little bouncing around, again, not a preacher. But also, I did change everything this morning because it's been laid on my heart about sharing the gospel and what the gospel is, but also what the ministry of reconciliation is. And so if you would, open up your Bibles with me this morning, and let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Now I'll be reading from the ESV. I think we have you said King James on the slide, so I'll give everybody a chance to get there. And then I'm going to read. Again, the title of this section is The Ministry of Reconciliation. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So, start back here with verse 16. To give you a little context about what's going on. Remember, I said you can't always place yourself into the story. We have to know who was writing it, who they were writing to, and what was going on around them at the time. So this is about Paul, or Paul wrote this, the letter to Corinthians. He wrote probably about four letters that they're sure of, 1st and 2nd Corinthians being two of them. But he also wrote another letter that's called the severe letter, or the letter of tears. It's referenced in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4, where he says that the whole time he was writing this letter, he was rebuking the church in Corinth. He was calling them out on their sin. And it was so painful for him to do so because he loved them. But because he loved them, he had to do it. So that's why it's called the letter of tears. So that was one letter as well. And he left where he had been ministering and was heading towards Corinth. He stopped somewhere to minister, but he was so nervous about the church's response to that rebuke that he actually couldn't preach where he was at. And so he kind of packed up again and started heading that way, and he ran into a guy named Titus, and Titus said that the church in Corinth had repented and were doing the things that they were supposed to be doing again. Now, one of the things that was going on in Corinth at the time was false prophets, false apostles, that were telling, they were trying to, what am I trying to say? They're not supporting Paul's message. They're actually going against Paul's message, and they're going after his character, trying to defame him so that they can set their gospel, their scripture, their word on a higher platform than him. But the Corinthians actually did repent. And so he was excited and he was able to come back. And this is when he wrote 2 Corinthians. So he gets through all that and he gets to the point where we're at now, verse 16. It says, From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. What Paul's stating here is since his conversion, that the priority is no longer about just meeting somebody and their physical needs. It's about meeting their spiritual needs and sharing with them that gospel that he's been placed on, and that burden that's been placed on him. We have a tendency still, even today, as Christians, to look at each other and by the worldly standards, by the standards we look in. There's so many people who still look in the world and say, well, they're fine, they're a good person. But we know that Jesus said, why do you call me good? Right? Because we can't be good. We will fail. We're sinners. And so he is saying that no longer do we look at people that way. We have to look at them the way that Christ looks at them. Yes, they're sinners, but they can be reconciled to God and they can be brought back. Verse 17, moving on. Let me get back there, I'm sorry. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's two powerful words in this verse that always stand out to me, and every time I read them, I always have to stop and take a double look, and it's in Christ. All the other things that they're talking about here are only possible if you are in Christ. We talk about the old has passed away and the new has come. That is only if you are in Christ. Paul is pointing out the significance of the believer's reconciliation to God. He's pointing out our assurance and security in our salvation through Christ. Our old self doesn't just die and the new comes because we say we believe. It is because Jesus actually died, taking on the wrath of God for our sins, and that God is calling us to be reconciled to him through that atonement. It's very powerful stuff there in that verse 17, when it seems to be just saying, in Christ, the old is gone, and here comes the new. There's a depth of theology, I guess, if the way of looking at it. There's a lot more to that regarding us being reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And this is where the title of this section comes from. It says, all this is from God. Paul is reiterating that we cannot reconcile ourselves to God through our own actions. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing. It is only by the death and resurrection of Jesus can you be reconciled to God. The other key thing with that, it says all this is from God. This is a beautiful thing that I see in this. God initiates that forgiveness that we need. Again, nothing you can do. God is the one who initiates it. Sorry, I got to drink some water. What is the ministry of reconciliation? Ministry of reconciliation is that God wills us to be reconciled to himself, and that we as believers are called to proclaim that reconciliation to others. I don't know Greek. Like I said before, I got to trust smarter people. But evidently the Greek word here for ministry was used in a way to describe service. It's literally God telling us he wants to serve non-believers so that they can be reconciled back to him as well as be reconciled to us. So how do we go about reconciling with our brothers and sisters in Christ and non-believers? It's by serving them. It's by ministering to them. Verse 19, reconciling the world to himself. Sorry, hang on a second. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. This is another example of God initiating our redemption and reconciliation. It is him who pulls us from our alienation, our lostness, and our sin into forgiveness and a right relationship with him. Now, it is key to remember that when Paul uses the world here, he is not saying that everyone will be saved. There's a lot of universalist and different theological groups out there that say that all will be saved. Well, what he's saying is that Christ died and his atonement for our sin is sufficient for all humankind. But it's only efficient for those who would believe. And that's pretty powerful to think about the fact that, yes, Christ died for the world, and it's sufficient to cover all that sin, but it was only for those who would be believing. Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. The term ambassador here relates to the Greek word elder, but not just an older person, but someone who was sent as a messenger from a king. Paul is describing our role as believers to be messengers for the King of Heaven with the gospel. I'll be honest here, it's a ton of pressure whenever I try to share the gospel with somebody, and it's a little nerve-wracking. Because, again, like I said at the beginning, it's a heavy weight to carry this and to be true to it. But there is a little bit of freedom, and there is a there's a weight lifted when you think about this. Because he says, Paul writes that God makes his appeal through us. He's saying that as we share the gospel, God speaks directly into the heart of the non-believer, that they should repent and believe in Jesus. You see, even as we share the gospel, it is not us who is doing the saving. That should help take some of that pressure off when you're ever having those conversations or you're sharing the gospel with someone. Verse 21 is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. There's only 15 Greek words spoken here, but there's a depth that when you really just break down this one passage, it talks about so many amazing things. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can't say I understand the full big words that theologians use, like imputed, right? That's one of the ones. Substitutionary atonement, like Jackson and I have talked about. All I've ever heard growing up, and this is actually a problem, I think, if you look back at the people who grew up in the church in the late 90s and early 2000s, we tended to be a very attractional, tried to soften the gospel and get people in the door. That's fine. But we miss out on something, that God's love is perfect. And God's love is perfect because it also is perfect in justice. And so our sin requires an atonement. Our sin has to be rectified. And that's done through Jesus Christ. God had his son die as a substitute for the death we deserved in our sin. I've read before that God's wrath and justice were exhausted on Christ and that there is no more. How amazing is that? That fear that so many people have when you go out and you're living in the world and you're so scared that you're going to sin, that you're going to screw up. Well, the good news is you are. And that's okay, because all that wrath of God has been poured out on Christ on the cross. And that's not ours to carry or to worry about anymore. Verse 21 concludes by saying that because of Jesus taking on the sin of those who would believe, we might become the righteousness of God. This is our justification, not justified by before men, but before God. He bore our sins so that we could carry his righteousness. Thank you so much for allowing me to share what's been on my heart lately. Like I said, this message really applies to us all. Hopefully you'll be able to take something from it. I pray for you. I love this church. I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to speak to you. But if you take away anything, there's nothing I can say that's going to save you. Pastor Ed could do an altar call right now, and whatever prayer you pray, there's no altar, there's no action that you can do to be saved. It is only by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are saved. Thank you.
If you would take your hymnals, turn to page 324. 324. Have you been to Calvary?